Welcome to Talking Walking, hosted by Andrew Stuck from Rethinking Cities and the Museum of Walking. Talking Walking brings you interviews with people from the world of walking, artists, activists, professionals, and those of us who have a passion for just taking a walk. Getting artists out and about in rural northeast Scotland has been the aim of Claudia Zeiska, founding director of the Walking Institute and of community arts organisation Deveran Arts. A keen walker herself, she uses walking not only as a creative practice, but also as a therapy. Having been invited to compete in a marathon as a runner, she found the experience far from inspiring and set about creating a slow marathon in the rural countryside that surrounds Huntly in Aberdeenshire. Each year, a different artist is invited to devise the marathon route. I caught up with Claudia between her busy schedule of meetings in London. We walked a circular route around the Whitechapel Gallery, trying to find quiet streets in which to record our conversation, a staggeringly difficult challenge in an area beset with development, including a new Crossrail station, as far from the tranquillity of northeast Scotland as one can be. What drew you to walking? Tell us a little bit about what drew you to walking.
Drew me to walking.
Yeah, what is it? Was it something in the childhood that you were? Or was it something that you?
Well, I guess it is true from childhood that I've always done it because my mother, she's from Austria, and that's what you do there. It's kind of what sort of you do there. You ski in the winter and you walk in the summer.
And long walks? I mean, was it sort of 2 to 3 hour walks as a child, or was
much longer. Much longer. We always had to walk up mountains, and so it was always like, I don't know, 5 hours walks or something like that. And then also when I then lived in cities, I always preferred much more to walk than use the public transport thing, which is quite a sort of a claustrophobic experience always, isn't it? What I was really lucky with is that the two partners I had a long-term boyfriend for a while, and he was really into walking, and then my husband, whom I'm married to 25 years now, he's a really keen walker as well. So I think that's what probably the walking brought us together. So we always walk every weekend and whenever we get a chance. So it has always been a passion of mine, and there was a point where I discovered walking keeps me sane. And now I always know that if I go, let's say I have a problem with something on the weekend, I can go walking and then it's gone. So it's just...
You walk through your problems, amongst other things.
Amongst other things. That's not the main thing I have, but it's sort of, that was quite a discovery. I mean, yeah, it saves you counselling and things like that.
It's a self-therapy, isn't it?
It is a sort of self-therapy.
Do you find it's helpful in the sort of creative thinking as well?
Yes, totally. So, you know, that's the same thing. If you have sort of, when I talk about problem, I not necessarily mean a big problem. Sometimes you just want to solve something, yeah? So you want to curate a project and you sort of don't come up with a good idea. But if you walk a long day, normally you have an idea at the end of the day. because you sort of think the problem over and over and again in a quiet sort of healthy way, different from when you have think it over at night time, you know, when it keeps you awake and, you know, going to a conclusion. And I think that's what the mind sort of works with your feet.
But now something in the work you do, and we'll come on to that shortly, but is that you work also with people who walk. You've drawn people to you who are also walkers, let's put it that way.
Yes, that is true. But even more interesting is I get people to walk who would maybe before not.
Aha, right.
So it is interesting to work with people who are interested in walking, but it's actually even more interesting to work with people who now get the chance to discover walking as an experience. Yeah.
Okay, so perhaps we should bring the listener around and make them find out a little bit more about what you do and who you do it and how it all began. If I say that, you know, you're the director, but you're also the person who conceived the Walking Institute?
That's right. I so set up the Walking Institute, which is part of my organization called Deveran Arts, which I have set up quite some years ago now. It's a small art organization in the northeast of Scotland. Yes, this interest in walking made me more interested in walking artists and walking art, and I've worked with a number of them. But I also, I like all kind of artists. I really, actually really love artists, and I think they're sort of the most amazing people. But now I like the idea of working with artists and get them to walk instead of to sit the whole time, for example. And, you know, experience that the walking can help them to create new work.
Okay, so the Walking Institute, the name itself, what's how did you come to that? What was the thinking behind that?
Well, good question. I basically was thinking, how could one call this sort of enterprise or organization or whatever that I wanted to set up that brings together all kind of walking. And it should be for people from all walks of life. And I was sure if this is the right name. But it's a kind of peripatetic school. That's what I'm interested in. It's something that can walk about. It can walk into other places. And it encompasses all forms of walking and dialogue through walking. And it can be in urban areas. But I also am particularly interested in the rural context as well. Because I think there's a lot of walking exploration in urban contexts, whereas the rural side is left to quite a few, small number of artists so far, and they are also artists that maybe come more from a genre from the 60s and 70s, and there is an opportunity to sort of bring a few fresh mind to that. Yeah. So I guess that's what I'm interested in.
What it's actually grown from then has been when you set up Devon Arts, listeners need to know it's a very community-involved arts organisation.
Yeah.
But you had already started to include a lot of kind of walking and art projects
under the Devon
banner. So something must have been the push that sort of... led you to focus more on walking and the Walking Institute?
Yes, I mean, because basically, okay, originally I'm an anthropologist. I'm quite sort of interested in people, and we did many different projects that are quite very people-centered, participatory art projects, and my interest in, which was more of my personal interest in walking, then led to a number of projects where I invited artists that are also interested in walking. And then that led to other artists who maybe don't think about walking as integrating in their art, but who then tried this out. So, for example, we had a very well-known Scottish fiddler. He's recently written a symphony about a wider area called the Highland Ways, which is an old drover's route. And he probably wouldn't, I mean, the man does walk, but he wouldn't normally sort of bring the two together. And I think this can be quite a revelation for a lot of artists to be given that opportunity to say, well, you now walk for a few days, and from that, let's see what inspiration comes out of it.
The thing that, so to me, really hits home as well is how, when I just said that the community are very much involved, but it's also how powerful the community has been in perhaps shaping the way your own Walking Institute has developed. And it's as much a discovery for the locals as it is for people who visit about how art and walking can perhaps reawaken some kind of personal or community confidence in themselves.
Yes. What I find the interesting challenge about is how you can bring the act of walking and the kind of people who are interested, for example, in the outdoors. There's always a sort of natural assumption that people who are interested in the outdoors are not interested in art, and people who are interested in art are not actually really interested in the outdoors. It's, for me, this is the interesting challenge, is so how do you get these two interests together? And so, by creating walks that touch both the art but also touch the outdoors and the interest in landscape and the interest in physical activity, that there's a lot of opportunities. And these opportunities, in fact, they touch on a lot of sort of government agendas, you know. They touch on tourism, they touch on health and well-being, they touch on ecology and environment and things like that. And I think this is really an interesting challenge. And I tell you, for example, one of the first projects I've done is this thing called Slow Marathon. And I did that with an Ethiopian artist who is interested in walking. And of course, Ethiopians are very interested, are very good in marathon running. And so she wasn't a runner at all. But so we did this thing called Slow Marathon, where we tried to do a marathon, but you can do it in your time. You don't need to run it at all. I've actually that year myself done a proper marathon. Somebody persuaded me to do that. And to me, that was the most ridiculous thing I've ever done, actually. You know, you fight for every second, you know, and there's 40,000 people enrolled in this marathon. And you think, well, you know, why on earth am I doing this? So while I did this proper marathon, I was dreaming up the slow marathon. And I realized that this is just such a fantastic way of... A marathon is still a marathon, you know. It's something quite... It feels good to have done it, you know. Mm-hmm. But actually, who cares in what time you have done it, unless you're one of the fastest. So I felt I wanted to do that, but I wanted to respect the landscape, and I wanted to respect, you know, your own body. People were in this marathon I did, like they were literally crawling into the end goal. And so anyway, we did this project, and it was kind of a bit difficult to get off the ground because we were under time pressure and get enough people to in the really rural northeast of Scotland to suddenly want to do a marathon. But now this is in the fourth year, and every year I do it with another artist. So the artist brings a different dimension, interpretation to the route, because we identify a new route every year. And this time it was booked out within 2 weeks of just announcing that this is happening. The kind of people that come together are people who are interested in the physical challenge, but are not interested in the competing side of marathons. And at the same time, they're interested in the landscape and interested in understanding what maybe the artist has unearthed.
Right.
So the one this year we're doing is with an artist called Stuart McAdam. He's quite a young artist from Glasgow, and he was looking at an old railway line that has fallen away with the beaching cuts about 50 years ago. So last year was 50 years of the beaching cuts and axing of a lot of rural railway lines. And so he was looking really at what has come to this railway line. So he was walking with a botanist, there was lots of energy from railway historians and in interest sort of railway enthusiasts. And so he brought a lot of different people together that may have had an interest in this kind of route. And so, yeah, this is what people are signing up for, and this is kind of an annual festival for us now that really brings art and walking together.
The Huntley residents,
yes,
they're key participants, but they must be... Did you have to win them round, or was it something that you found instantly that they swarmed to?
Things like that don't work instantly. I mean, we have been there for a long time now, and obviously... The walking is an easy one for them because they live in a rural area, and that's what people do there. And it's not... In fact, it was quite funny when we first got some money for the Walking Institute. There were some people saying, well, we do that anyway. You know, what do you need money for? But let's say we started more with the art and the Devon Arts and the participation. And of course, people probably find some things that we do strange. So what I always say to people is actually the biggest mistake I've done is calling it art, because there is always a perception.
Everyone what comes, artists yeah, are doing. Someone comes with an assumption.
They come with an assumption, and art, you know, people felt like they're not doing life drawing classes or things like that.
Hanging something on the wall.
Yeah, yeah. And so therefore we don't do our job right. Whereas if we weren't called art, maybe they wouldn't question it like that, you know?
Yeah.
And I think we can't get away from that. Maybe even myself, if somebody I never heard of who says I'm an artist, you immediately think he's a painter, you know. And then you only start asking what they're doing. Artists are often notoriously difficult in explaining themselves what they're doing. So you don't know until you experience it. And so people have much more accepted over the years what we're doing. And, you know, it is very important to keep people's trust.
How about recommending a walk?
Recommending a walk?
Walk, yes.
Oh, yeah, do the slow marathon. That's what I recommend.
Okay,
it's a long walk, and you feel very tired at the end, but you feel really, really good. And you made friends, you made photographs, you brought your own lunch pack, and you didn't throw away, you know, plastic cups as you do in a normal marathon. But you feel really good afterwards, and you have a story to tell afterwards, and you can tell your grandchildren you've done a marathon. So, but you also learned a lot because, you know, the artist has interpreted that route very extensively. And so you learn a lot about the route through the mapping process that comes with it. So I think that is the one I would recommend just now. But, you know, last year, of course, for example, I did a walk in Palestine, near Ramallah, a very area where walking is almost forbidden. It's seen as an act that an subversive act, and that was very interesting.
You've been listening to Talking Walking, brought to you by Rethinking Cities and the Museum of Walking. In this episode, you've heard from Claudia Zeiska. If you have any views on this interview or any walking issues, we'd love to hear from you. Just follow the links on the Talking Walking website. We look forward to having you along for future episodes of Talking Walking. Written, recorded and produced by Andrew Stuck of Rethinking Cities Limited, our artwork is designed by Ian Martin of Aardvark Graphics, and the music is composed by Simon Sanders of Easytronic.